You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So, I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
He got infrastructure passed, and that's a good thing because success can breed success. He is putting the full force of the presidency behind it. I think the problem for the Democrats right now is not that they have bad leaders. They have bad followers.
Go with that. Right. That's a good one. Go with that, Paul. Campaign. That's Paul Begala, who I've been on, CNN, HBO with before, and he and I went back and forth. I'll give you a fun fact here in a moment. But first, greetings and salutations, Radio Land. It is I, your captain for this journey for the next 3 hours, a three-hour tour. DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you. It's approximately 61 degrees in Texas, which is meaningless because tomorrow it's going to be like, we're going to get into like the 37 highs, 25 lows. I can't. So Paul Begala, who was a Clinton guy, just so let me explain to you his background. In fact, like most of the people that you see on CNN and MSNBC who are pundits, all of these people at one point were campaign surrogates, which, by the way, I hate that. I am so tired of this professional job model. Right. Where I'm going to go work for so-and-so's campaign. And then I worked for their campaign. Now I'm going to write a book about my time with the campaign. And then I'm going to go and become a contributor on a network. And these people, they've never really done a lot in the private sector. Like Paul Begala, I can't tell you what the hell this guy did. Now, he and I have always been friendly, but in a smart-assed way. So when one time when we were on Real Time together and he was trying to get sassy with me, and I brought up the fact that Clinton had bombed an aspirin factory, and he got mad about that. He didn't like it. But it's true. He essentially bombed an aspirin. You remember that? Everybody remembers that, right? And I remembered it, and I was like in high school, college. So, but from what he just said there, I am totally on board with this Democrat tactic of blaming the voter instead of taking any responsibility. This is good. Guys, we should encourage them in this as much as possible. This is brilliant, brilliant take there. Bold move, Cotton. Bold move. This is their strategy. I thought this was a joke when I first saw it. I'm like, oh boy, this surely this has been exaggerated. Oh no, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. This is an ad, by the way. So thank you, Paul Begala, for creating an ad. So the strategist believes that the problem isn't the bad leaders, and the problem isn't bad policy, and it's not really anything else bad that Democrats have done. Their followers are bad. Their voters are bad. At one point, when are Democrat voters going to realize that this is an abusive relationship that they have? It's the voters' fault that Joe Biden hasn't accomplished a single thing. Tell me, give me one Joe Biden accomplishment. This is what I've been telling, or asking rather, the left. I'm like, give me one Joe Biden accomplishment. One. Just one. One singular Joe Biden accomplishment. Nobody can do it. It is not something that exists. They can't. They can't do it. So they haven't been able to deliver. Everyone sees what's happening with jobs. They see what's happening with inflation. They see what's happening with, I mean, just give any number of things here. You can't lie to people about what they're paying at the pump. Milk is expensive. Gas is expensive. You have bare shelves. It's crazy. And then, yeah, it's not surprising to me. It's not surprising to me that the polling is so bad. I was looking at some of this earlier. So we talked about Quinnipiac last week, and we talked about Gallup a little bit yesterday. And it sent them in disarray. Here, there was another measure too. The number of people, it's like 49% to 42% now, Americans who are identifying as Republican as opposed to Democrat. And that's increased just in the past year. Now, keep in mind that the high unfavorability rating that Biden has with independents, Black voters, Hispanic vote, just voters, just people, right? Just, you don't even need to break it up anymore by demo. It's just everybody doesn't like this guy. They are in such dire straits that they sent a bat signal up for the old bat, Hillary Clinton. That worked. They think Hillary Clinton might actually be able to help them. So, of course, she's getting all excited. Good heavens. She couldn't even make it through the last election. Remember when she fell down in the street and lost a shoe? I think it was a Tory Burch flat. I believe it was a Tory and Tory Burch ballet flat. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I think it was. No one thinks that she can do that. She has more meanness than she does endurance. Like in 100 years from now, the things that will, like if there was a nuclear explosion wiping out the planet, the three things, possibly four, that would still exist: cockroaches, Nokia phones, Hillary Clinton's meanness would exist as like some kind of ether, and maybe Keith Richards. That's what would still exist. She's animated right now by hate. It's like a hate bot. I hate you. It's like a hate bot. Really, it is. Okay, so Paul Begala saying that it's because of the followers. They have bad followers. It's not that they have bad leaders. They have bad followers. That's just a really messed up way, I think, to identify people who support you and vote for you. It really is. They're not followers. These are people who vote for you. This isn't like a club. But I'm telling you what, the polling, bad. The number of people who are re-identifying themselves politically and coming out as Republicans, that's crazy. The Michigan Democrat Party, so first off, let me tell you what happened, and then they had a backpedal. Michigan Democrats told parents that they are not clients of public schools and that children should be taught what society needs them to know and that taxpayers should stay out of education. This is when I roll up my shirt sleeves and I start throwing punches. They were blasting parents, and then they got blasted in return. They put this on Facebook. Michigan Democrats, like the official Michigan Democrat Party, put this up on Facebook. And they were saying that parents can sign their kids up in private schools if they don't like the way things are. Oh my gosh. Look, kittens, as I said before, I go where my tax dollars go. If you don't want me going into certain areas, then don't take my tax dollars. It is just real simple. I mean, this is not a difficult thing. Can you believe? So they actually put this up. It's their verified account. That's what's crazy. They put this up on their verified account. And what they said is, not sure where this parents should control what is taught in schools because they are our kids is originating. What a horrible sentence. Let's just stop right there. What in the world? They write, not sure where this quote unquote parents should control what is taught in our schools because they are our kids is originating. You mean that argument? But parents do have the option to choose to send their kids to a hand-selected private school at their own expense if this is what they desire. The purpose of a public education in a public school is not to teach kids only what parents want them to be taught. It is to teach them what society needs them to know. The client of the public school is not the parent, but the entire community, the public. Okay, it's the parent. I'm going to say something that is not popular. If you're federally funded, if you work for the government, I own you. I'm your employer. We all do. We are all your employer. and you better be bending over backwards, contorting your spine into ways that are unknown to humanity in order to please us. It better be Cirque du Soleil on your part in order to please us. We are your employer. That is how this works. If you dislike that, feel free to immediately change your vocation, and you can go to any hand-selected private sector job.
Thank you.
I mean, that's... I almost want to have more kids just so I can put them in public school and be that parent. Where people are like, oh my gosh, there's Dana. Run away. And then they would just do whatever I want because I'm such a brat. Like Karen would be like inconsequential. It would be a kitten compared to the T-Rex that I would be. So, and this idea, I love their class warfare here. Their class warfare of, well, parents should just suck it up and just send your kids wherever. Everybody can just go to a private school. Well, I think more parents would be able actually to go and afford private schools if the federal government wasn't sucking up all their money. And I mean, we are what, 25th in the world when it comes to math and science? Why are we 20? We're the United States of flipping America. Why are we 25th when it comes to math and reading? 25th. If you ain't first, you're last. That is the Ricky Bobby philosophy of life. Craziness. So anyway, Michigan Democrats walked it back because the rage from the parents was as you might think it was. They said that they apologized. Of course they did. They apologized that they got caught. That's what happened. Come on. Come on. They said that, and they were really hit. Beth DeShone, who's Great Lakes Education Project Executive Director, absolutely just hit them back and said, great slam on lower income families. They don't possess the financial means to send their kids to private schools. Michigan Freedom Fund Executive Director, all these people. So then finally, the Michigan Democratic Party noted that they removed the group's original statement. They said, we deleted a post that ignored the important role parents play and should play in Michigan public schools. Parents need to have a say in their children's education. End of story. The post does not reflect the views of Michigan Democrats and should not be misinterpreted as a statement of support from our elected officials or candidates. It was on your official Michigan Democrats page, you morons. It was on your official page and it was verified. It's not. And notice how they're like, you guys should misinterpret it. Like, if you think that it says this, then this is your fault. That's not how this works, kids. My heavens, they can't even take responsibility for this. Okay, so coming up, I have a few other things. Because Democrats, the fallout continues. They're coming up with a plan B. For filibuster. They're trying to do something else with voting now. And I'm curious, the dude who was running his mouth about how it was below his line of concern to care about Uyghurs, are they going to force this guy to sell his 10% ownership stake? He owns 10% of the team. I love how he's like owner of the Warriors in his Twitter bio. You have 10%, dude. Wow. So we're going to get into that. We'll also talk about how the Joint Chiefs chair and the Marine Corps chief, guess what? They're all vaxxed, boosted, double vaxxed, boosted, triple boosted, and vaxxed. They got the Rona. They tested positive. They had to announce it. It came out yesterday morning, but they announced it very quietly. How many Marines have they fired for not being vaccinated? We're going to discuss that. And also, here's a question to consider. Unless you support federal dietary restrictions for the obese, since obesity is the top virus comorbidity, shut up about virus vax mandates. Thanks. We'll talk about that a little bit more. We got a lot to get into today. People make a big deal out of New Year's resolutions, but I want you to commit to one today. Resolve to do something that will help get this country back on the right track, like supporting causes and companies that share our values. So, of course, you know, I'm proud to work with my friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage, and in fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers, so you get the same great nationwide coverage. Plus, you get peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the progressive left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veterans and first responders, and more. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Resolve to do something that will help get this country back on the right track. PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So the trucker vaccine rule is making freight and fruit. Sidebar. That sounds like an amazing business name. Like it's freight. It's like truckers that only ship fruit. Freight and fruit. Right? Fruit and freight? Anyway, long story short. Apparently, they say the lower the supply, the higher the price. And they are saying that there are all, like in Canada particularly, they have all these rules that require border agents to turn away unvaccinated U.S. truckers. These dudes are legit in a cab, typically, and chicks, by themselves. Unless it's like a husband and wife, I hear from a number of truckers out there. They're saying Canadian truckers who can't show proof of vaccination have to quarantine when they re-enter the country from the U.S. And they say shipping is about to get disrupted further in both directions. Everything is stupid. It all is so dumb. In Minnesota, the tiny goose capital. Wait a minute, hold up. Tiny goose capital? Yeah. Can you get a tiny, like tiny geese? Because I have an obsession to do a mini ranch of mini animals at a ranch of just miniature animals. Everything's miniature, except the goth chickens that I would have. Anyway, they say that if you want to go to the goose capital of Minnesota, they will award you the 7/10 of an acre inside its city limits if you move there and build a house. So it's in Middle River, a town of 300 people in a national wildlife refuge, the state's well-known Thief Lake Wildlife Management Area. So they say that you get zero down, zero interest, zero payments on a 100-by-300-foot lot in Middle River. And they have a welcome packet and everything. But the big question is, do you get a little goose? That's my question. Stay with us. We got more in store.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
There's something that you can run on. And again, you don't talk about what you didn't get. That's what these Democrats whine too much, Chuck. Just quit being a whiny party and get out there and fight and tell people what you did and tell people the exact truth. The Republican Party stands for nothing other than let's relitigate the 2020 election or let's get back at Jamie Raskin. That's it. That's the entire.
They are whiny. That's James Carville. Where's the lie? Welcome back to the show. It is I, Dana Lash, here with you. We talked about mini ranches legit the entire time and goth chickens on break. I'm gonna talk about that more. It's my dream. A mini ranch of all entirely mini animals and then goth chickens. Google goth chicken, and it's an Indonesian chicken. The whole thing's black, including its bones. That is goth as all get out, man. That's like punk rock chicken. Okay. That's the name of a chicken restaurant. Punk rock chicken. Oh, are they good eating? Sidebar. I'm totally distracted right now on this endeavor. And goth chicken. Okay, so. I made mention of this a little earlier. The Joint Chiefs chairman and the Marine Corps chief got the Wu flu. General Mark Milley, a.k.a. Sir White Rage, has tested positive for the Wu flu. He has very minor symptoms, said a spokesperson. His mask and shields didn't work?
Yeah, space shield.
Wow. Now, he's been vaxxed and boosted. By the way, what did they say, minor symptoms? He was isolating, working remotely so he can perform his duties. So he's reading White Rage remotely. Okay. And the Joint Chiefs spokesperson, Colonel Dave Butler, he said that Milley was isolating himself. And then apparently they also said that General David Berger, the Marine Corps commandant, said also has the Wu flu. How many Marines did they fire? Remember the whole story about the number of military members being run out because they wouldn't get the injection? Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin also tested positive for Wu flu earlier this month. He had mild symptoms. He was fully vaxxed and boosted. Don't you love this argument to get vaxxed and boosted? Get vaxxed and boosted. Double vaxxed and triple boosted, because then you're still going to get the you're still going to get the woo flu. People say, well, yeah, but it reduces your symptoms. Do you know how many doctors have come out and said that the vaccine doesn't actually, well, we know it doesn't prevent transmission. The CDC already said that. And that the efficacy of the injection towards Omicron, the latest strain, which is incredibly mild, and there have only been 10 fatalities worldwide. I had Omicron. I have natural immunity. My symptoms were mild. And I'm not vaccinated. I have natural immunity. That's my vaccine. And the 10 fatalities worldwide. And they've said that the vaccine, the efficacy of this vaccine towards the latest strain is non-existent, because that's not what it was sequenced for. But we forget the rules of science. You just have to get the injection, because it's not about herd immunity. Herd immunity is not the focus. Because if herd immunity was the focus, we would have recognition of and discussion about natural immunity, right? Yep. We would be testing for antibodies, would we not? Why is there no mass effort to test for antibodies? We're not doing that. This is not about immunity. It's about obedience. Get the vaccine. Get the injection. That's it. Now, if this was actually about immunity and it did more than serve as a therapeutic, then I think you would be able to persuade a lot of people. But so far, the goalposts have moved when it concerns efficacy of the vaccine and also the entire goal. I mean, if the whole entire result is just focused on symptoms, if you're, and again, I can't believe, I have to say this because the world is stupid and I hope we get hit by an asteroid, and I do not say this facetiously. If the whole point is to make sure that, you know, blah, 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 fine. The people who have the comorbidities and those who are elderly and worried, go ahead and get the vaccine. I don't care what the hell you do. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. It is below my line of concern. To quote what's-his-face, who loves the CCP. So, if it's more of a therapeutic, but they won't say that, but for whatever reason, then, and the whole point is about easing symptoms, then it's not about immunity. Why are we still taught? Why is this still a mandate? I posed this question earlier, and it, so far, it's making all the progressives mad. And I said, it's amazing how fast proponents of virus vaccine mandates change their tune when you propose federal dietary restrictions to remedy the top virus comorbidity, obesity. Because this concern is nothing but theater. And I love using people as public learning aids. So if you're like a rando and you're a jerk and I respond to you, you should be worried. This, and I was talking about this in response to Carhartt. Carhartt puts a letter out where they said that many of you have asked about the recent Supreme Court decisions on the OSHA mandate for large employers and impact our associates, that how that will impact our associates. So we want to provide some clarity. They write, they sent this letter that's all out on Twitter now. They said that the ruling does not change Carhartt's mandatory vaccination program, which went into effect on January 4th. We've extended the deadline for both RCV, blah, 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 associates, February 15th. The date remains in effect. So they're saying workplace safety, vaccinated workplace, blah, 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 blah. So they're demanding Carhartt, who can't read the room on who they serve, the people that they serve, they're mandating vaccines. And so I love these people who try to say, well, you get to make the rules for your business. Okay, well, is it based on actual science or not? Let's not do this Mott Bailey of small business. That's a deflection. Let's focus on the issue at hand. Are we basing this on science or not? What is the reason for the mandate? The mandate because what? It's supposed to promote immunity? That's the veneer behind which everyone's hiding to promote this? Because the reality, according to the CDC, is that it doesn't prevent transmission. And many scientists and doctors, including some with the CDC, are saying that it doesn't actually even affect Omicron because it's not sequenced to do so. That We're not. Are we going to vaccinate for every singular damn cold out there? Because that's also a coronavirus. That's what this is, an endemic thing. This is incredibly mild. Omicron's incredibly mild. In fact, there was another study that came out this morning from the UK that discusses how the fourth shot that they're talking about now, or the fourth booster, has zero effect on Omicron. Omicron doesn't have any effect. So if the point is that you're trying to save lives and increase immunity, let's separate these two for a minute, because clearly this isn't about immunity. If it was, then natural immunity would be recognized. So I think we can drop the theater of pretending that this is about natural immunity or any kind of herd immunity anymore, because we're not even recognizing natural immunity. If you don't do that, then this is not about herd immunity. This is about, let's go with the theater of saving lives. Let's go with that. Like, this is somehow going to prevent transmission. Well, the CDC already said it doesn't. It doesn't prevent transmission. And I've had the exact same symptoms as people who have been vaccinated, double vaccinated and boosted. So there's no... Now, if we're talking about people who could be affected that have serious comorbidities, let's examine that. If this is about saving lives and getting people healthy, and you think the vaccine is the way to do it, well then, what about the comorbidity of obesity? That is the top virus comorbidity. The majority of coronavirus fatalities worldwide since the beginning of this pandemic have been so egregiously from obesity that it's stunning. Over 95-96% obesity. So if this is about saving lives and you're willing to mandate something that actually doesn't transfer immunity, then why stop there? Why not mandate federal dietary restrictions to get obese people to lose weight and to prevent obesity? I mean, where do you draw the line? I love how people say that's a straw man argument. Please, just a pro tip for drive-bys, do not use terms describing illogical fallacies when you don't understand them. It is embarrassing to watch for everybody. That's a legitimate question. It's either about saving lives or it's not. So where do you draw the line? Why stop there either? You know how many deaths are attributed to alcohol? How many individuals who were in bad health states due to drinking, for instance, are we going to call for federal restrictions on alcohol intake? What about recreational drug use? What about any kind of behavior that could be considered dangerous to oneself? What about promiscuity? Where do you draw the line? Do you think that they're going to stop this once the pandemic fades away? That's adorable. Anyone who thinks that this is going to, that these sort of overreaches and mandates stop as soon as the virus is under control. They said that the virus is going to be under control in 15 days, 2 years ago. And now here we are talking about putting KN95s on kids who aren't even physically mature enough to be considered reservoirs for this or really any other kind of virus of this nature. So where's the consistency? I'd love to know. If it's all about, they say, well, data shows that vaccinated people are more likely to survive. Data shows that people who aren't obese are more likely to survive too. And where's your call for federal restrictions and dietary guidelines? It's a legitimate point. And these people cannot deal with it. The left is freaking out because I brought this up. Now, where's the lie? There isn't one. This is why I've been watching this Novak Djokovic. I will get into tennis just for this dude. Now, what are they saying? The Australian Open, he's banned for 3 years from Australia. He might be banned from the French Open. You realize that he's had the coronavirus, correct? He had it last month. He has natural immunity. They're refusing to let him play because he has not gotten an injection. The injection is supposed to induce immunity to the virus, or at the very least, help with symptoms. Tell me how the injection is different from his natural antibodies as that exist within his person as a result of having already contracted coronavirus. So again, I ask, is this about getting injected and forcing obedience, or is it about actual herd immunity? Because none of this looks like it's about immunity. We have more on this coming up. We're going to talk more about the Djokovic case too. Don't let winter weather stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink canned espresso mocha drink. Made with coffee-forward flavors, premium ingredients, and 200 milligrams of caffeine per can, it's a convenient way to fuel your next mission. Black Rifle Coffee Company develops explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members serving this great nation and are committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee Company gives back. The best way to enjoy their freedom-filled coffee is with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, partner discounts, and more. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find out what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
The Biden administration has mismanaged COVID. It has mismanaged inflation. It has mismanaged the border. And it has mismanaged foreign policy all in one year. If the aliens landed tomorrow and said, take me to your leader, it would be embarrassing.
I like Senator Kennedy. You know, he's, I never thought I would say that phrase, but he's from Louisiana. Welcome back to the program, Dana Loesch here. It's true, though. It would be embarrassing. He, you know, he would say the same. He's like the person you want to sit next to at a dinner party because he's just going to be full of one-liners that you're just going to be filing away to use on Facebook if somebody gets wrong. He's funny. Make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse, my newsletter over at Substack. All kinds of good things happening. Scientists have been studying inequity in the animal kingdom, everybody. We're going to finally figure out this bigotry with animals. The people that we rely on to tell us about science and fact, these are things that should be entirely separate from politics. They're studying, according to the New York Times, privilege and inequality amongst squirrels and actually other animals as well. I am not making this up. Stop. Researchers say the human concepts of intergenerational wealth and inequality are useful for studying animals' behavior. Seriously. They talked about how North American red squirrels are born with silver spoons in their mouths, and they apparently have an easier life, and so they're bigots. And, I'm not making this up. In fact, Dr. Jennifer Smith, who apparently was one of the leaders of the study, said, to when they're talking about privilege, inequality, and generational wealth, she said, quote, when we started looking for it, we found lots and lots of examples. To see this across so many different species was quite surprising, and we're just touching the surface, end quote. They literally use the phrase, pine cone rich squirrels. Guys, this is not satire. It is not satire. Let me, here's the phrase. They say that the young pinecone-rich squirrels are children of privilege. Yeah. And they actually published this in a paper also last month in Behavioral Ecology, where a trio of researchers legit argued that we should call the phenomena, like they look at these squirrels, they really hate red squirrels. And they say that they live in pine forests where the adults defend their food stores. And without food stores of their own, baby squirrels won't survive. But the squirrel moms abandon their territory and they bequeath all their food to their babies. That's intergenerational wealth. It's called survival, You morons. Oh my gosh. We're going to make fun of this more. This is worse than the Audi thing from yesterday. Stick with us. Second hour on the way.
The attack on our democracy is real. From the January 6th insurrection to the onslaught of Republicans' anti-voting laws in a number of states. It's no longer just about who gets to vote. It's about who gets to count the vote and whether your vote counts at all. It's about two insidious things, voter suppression and election subversion.
Oh, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. It's not about voter suppression. Who is being denied a vote besides dead people? What this is about is federalizing elections. And they're saying that if they can't control them in, if they can't control these, if they can't control the elections federally in D.C., then somehow that's voter suppression and election subversion. No, that's not gonna work. Democrats are there. Well, they're really, really ramping up the rhetoric because the filibuster, removal of the filibuster, ain't gonna fly. That's not gonna help them at all. Now they're talking about the Electoral Count Act. I don't know if you've heard about this. This is just a ridiculous proposal. The Electoral Count Act. This is like from the 1800 somethings. I don't know. They want to use that to block completion of electoral vote count past January 20th. And apparently the problem with this, and not, I mean, this gets really into the weeds with stuff, but they want to hack up the Electoral Counting Act because you don't have to have a unified Congress in order to do it. I mean, you theoretically could have just like one senator and one congressional representative. Just stop it. Do you want to give Democrats that power? I don't want anybody to have that power. Good grief. It also limits debate. The ECA, the Electoral Count Act, limits debate to for each objection to 2 hours. But, I mean, you still, though, it reduces that threshold because you don't have to have the way that they want to do it. They want to remove this unified approach, this having Congress all together, a quorum, actually more than that, in order to do it. That's dangerous. Super dangerous. They're throwing the book at it. Oh, it's not going to work. Not going to work. A few things here. Hawaii is going to require full vaccination, including a booster shot, to visit their state. So vaccinated people have been spreading it. So they're going to have people who are under the impression that they are not positive spreading coronavirus around. Oh, well, I have my vaccination and boosts and everything. Yeah, you can still spread it. And in fact, I wonder if that's one of the reasons why Omicron isn't spreading so much. We have these higher rates of transmission and yet so many more people are vaccinated. Maybe it's because they were sold a false bill of goods saying that, well, this is going to prevent transmission. And now we know after everybody gets these injections, it doesn't. So people have been walking around thinking that they're fine. They've been double vaxxed and boosted, and they're still transmitting it and infecting everybody. This is one of the things that Hawaii is looking to do. They probably will. They have a safe travels program. And if you don't want to quarantine for 5 days, you have to be fully vaccinated. So you have to have two shots of the Pfizer or Moderna, one shot of the J&J. And they're looking to change their definition of fully vaccinated, though. So who the hell knows? So that means you could be fully vaccinated, but if you didn't get your booster shot, you'd have to quarantine for a week. That's not expensive. A week and what? You had to quarantine a week when you get there. That's not expensive. Good grief. It's not a good sell. Make sure that you get double vaxxed and boosted, and then you can come here. Except people are still getting it. This is all about restriction of travel. It really is. Hong Kong hamsters, this is how bad everything is. Listen to this. Oh, I am going to go back to the squirrel inequity. You know it's bad. This is like this is how horrible China is. They're ordering people in Hong Kong. They're killing 2,000 animals after they discover that hamsters can get the Rona. Yeah. Authorities said that they're going to kill 2,000 small animals, including hamsters, after several tested positive for coronavirus at a pet store. They're going to stop the sale of hamsters and small mammals. Oh, and apparently they have the Delta variant. Hong Kong authorities said they're not ruling out transmission between animals and humans. They said that all pet owners should observe good personal hygiene. Don't kiss your pets. Jeez. What about not eating bats? Can we not eat bats? Then maybe start with that. And they said that all the pet stores in Hong Kong have to stop selling hamsters and chinchillas. They're going to be killed in a humane manner. I love, we're going to do something inhumane to them humanely. Oh, boy. By the way, speaking of the animal thing, I'm not going to get past this anymore. I need you to listen. This is audio soundbite 14. This is how crazy people are. In Australia, this is an Australian news report. This is serious journalism. And they interviewed a woman who's terrified about her bulldog getting the Rona. Listen.
The possibility of Samantha Shapiro's rescue dog getting severely sick from COVID is her worst nightmare.
Because she is much older, absolutely. I think she is a lot more susceptible to it.
To ease the fear, she wants her staffy vaccinated.
I would feel like so helpless and so defenseless knowing that possibly there was something that possibly could have saved her.
Would you vaccinate your pet?
Absolutely, why not?
I absolutely would.
Sorry, Staffordshire Bull Terrier. This sounds like, are you guys familiar with Kath and Kim? They tried doing it here in the United States and it was not good. Partly because the Australian accents are so, sometimes I don't know what they're saying. But Kath, it sounds like an episode of Kath and Kim. Kath is the mom and Kim's the daughter. And she wears crop tops when she shouldn't. You know how when you would bake like a little souffle and a little small ramekin and it just kind of puffs out over the top just a little bit? Same thing. So it does sound like an episode of Kath and Kim. Kim, I'm so worried about our dog. Are you going to get him vaccinated, Mom? She's going to get her dog vaccinated. Well, you must not have a lot of stuff to worry about in life if you're worried about getting your dog back. I say this as an extreme germaphobe. That's why I didn't have to rush out and go get PPE like everybody else because I already had this stuff. I'm still like, I could go 50 years. You guys think I'm joking. I'm not. It's a sickness. But I am more averse to government control. So now I'm like, I don't want to wash my hands. I don't want to do anything. I want to be as nasty as people apparently were. Oh my gosh. This is how crazy it is getting. So now they're killing all these animals in Hong Kong. Why not just vaccinate the hamsters, Kane?
It'd be tough to figure out the dose.
Vaccinate the hamsters. Vaccinate the hamsters. Like the Where's that, that at?
The size of that dose would have to be tiny.
I want to go and start a Vaccinate the Hamsters campaign to save the hamsters and small animals, small mammals in Hong Kong, right? Chinchillas? The hell? Hang on. What does it even look like? Chinchilla.
Oh, chinchillas? Yeah. They're cute.
It's a rat.
Yeah, but
it's
cute.
It's like a rabbit with, it looks like a rabbit with shorter ears, but it's a rat. Can I just say something? Sidebar. What is up with this thing to call different kinds of rats like cutie little animals and pretend they're pets? Like a hedgehog, for instance. It's a rat. It's a rat. Just like scallops. You go to a nice seafood restaurant, you get you some scallops. You're eating bug meat. Enjoy. Right? It's a bug. It's a sea bug. Same with shrimp, lobster. Lobster's like a sea roach. Mmm, tasty. Sea roaches. Same thing with this, right? Isn't a chinchilla? It's just a big rat. It just looks cuter than regular rats because it's more rabbit looking. But it's a rat. It's a rodent, right? Why are we... This is not cutie little... Stop making rats pets. I don't care how... They're still rats. What is, have you noticed this? And a hedgehog is like a rat pretending to be a porcupine.
So wait, are you for vaccinating hamsters?
Yes.
Or not?
Let's vaccinate
okay,
all
I'm
of
just,
them.
I'm getting
I would rather inject them. And they can all deal with the myocarditis and pericarditis later. But I'd rather inject them than kill them all. What? It's true. For real. They said that anybody who bought a hamster after December 22nd should surrender it to the authorities.
What?
Out of my cold, dead hands. Right. We need a don't tread on me, but a little hamster saying it, right? For Hong Kong. What in the world? They have a thing with kill. Did you? I will never forget this video. I didn't talk about the headline because it was right around Louis. And I am very John Wick about. John Wick was a movie about dogs. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. It was a movie about dog ownership and dog lovers. That's what John Wick was. All of the John Wicks were about that. Everything else was just, you know, an accessory. And I was reading this piece last night about how French bulldogs are, people are stealing French bulldogs. And I'm like, I would drop a sucker in like a split second. One day one of these fools are going to run up on somebody who's like John Wick. And then everyone you love is going to be burning in a fire of regret. That's what's going to happen. So I was thinking about this, like in China, there was a story. They were going to these different high rises and taking people and like forcibly, that's not a volunteer position, taking people and putting them into quote unquote quarantine. And this one woman had a little corgi. Oh, yeah, it's going to get bad. And she had this little corgi and she had a video, like a security camera in her apartment to watch her pup, right? Her pup had water and food. And she was, you know, just that's where the corgi was hanging out while its owner was, you know, in quarantine. And the authorities were doing checks on all of, like, barging into people's apartments and checking their apartment, I guess, to make sure everything was, they were all obedient. And they found this corgi and they hit it on camera. They hit it with a blunt object and the corgi whimpered and ran into another room and they went in there and you could hear it being killed. They killed it. China loves killing everybody's animals in the name of COVID. So now they're doing this in Hong Kong. Even if it's a rat, I want to almost want a hamster now in defiance of this. I just want to like have my hamster and then crochet little outfits for it and just like be like, come and get my hamster. You'll meet a hail of bullets. Come and get it. I'm getting John Wick about this, right? Jeez. Can you imagine? John Wick, it was absolutely a dog movie. There you go. End of story. So
you're saying that John Wick would be a completely different movie if he owned a chinchilla?
No, because if it has anything to do with a tyrannical government saying we're going to murder your animal because we're morons and we let a bioweapon loose on the world and your hamster can get it, but guess what? You're not going to die from it because the fatality rate, unless you're morbidly obese or have other serious illnesses, it's like, you know, the survival rate's over 99%, but we're going to kill your animal anyway. Yes, I would be totally John Wick over a hamster.
Okay, I got it now. Uh-huh. I got it.
Yeah, because I look at tyrants as being less than hamsters. See, this is where I struggle in my Christian faith, Kane.
I'm with you there,
yeah, I'd be like, okay, Xi Jinping, hamster Xi Jinping, hamster's way higher. Yellow bears. By the way, Winnie the Pooh has entered public domain, but without his red shirt, only the naked one. Any KKID, that's the proper way to say it if you're in southern Missouri and anywhere else. The naked Winnie the Pooh, he can't have the red shirt on. Gosh. All right, so we have more to get into. I don't know how this turned into the animal. The thing with the, I don't even like, they're making me defend hamsters. Flipping hamsters, man. We're going to get into a whole, there's train robberies. We're going to talk about train robberies in 2022. It's the Wild West. You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Superbeats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Ooh, okay, so this is crazy. So we finally have updates from Tonga, the tsunami that first hit an underwater volcano, which was a little bit, northwest of the largest island. There's a number of islands that form Tonga, but the tsunami that took place after, everything's covered in ash, but the tsunami destroyed apparently all of the houses on one of its islands, according to their government, and then on another island that's smaller, only 2 houses remain. Now, they're still trying to establish contact with some of these other islands that are out there, and it's been difficult for some of the aid planes to do some surveys initially to see if they could get aid planes in, because their airport is apparently covered with ash, and that's hampering planes landing for aid efforts. But they said that it is unprecedented devastation. This is just crazy, crazy, crazy. A couple of other things. Apparently, the memorial for MLK was made in China. Huh? I did not know that. It was a noted Chinese communist artist that sculpted the 30-foot-tall memorial, and then they shipped it to D.C. I did not know that. Did you know that?
No.
Stick with us. We got a ton more. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy, letter P, letter M, investments.com.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe. The Dana Show.
You know, one of the things that we, I believe, the entire world is facing, but we certainly are facing it in a very, very disconcerting way in the United States, is the amount of disinformation that is accompanying what should be a problem where everyone pulls together against a common enemy, which is the virus. We have disinformation that is entirely destructive to a comprehensive public health endeavor.
What? Disinformation entirely destructive to a comprehensive public health endeavor? What is the public health endeavor? Dr. Fauci, welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch with you this Tuesday. Feels like a Wednesday. Right? Why does it feel like a Wednesday? So let's discuss the disinformation that's destructive to a comprehensive public health endeavor. So what is specifically that disinformation? Because the only thing that I have seen are people asking questions about therapeutics and people asking questions about all of these public officials moving goalposts on the efficacy of the injections, the regulations that are not uniform standard, which then call into question, you know, the idea that you're going to somehow contain a respiratory virus is stupid. You have to acclimate. Bottom line. And it's not disinformation to ask these questions. What's disinformation is to characterize the action of asking a question as disinformation, because you want to absolve yourself of the responsibility of actually having to address the nature of the question, which means you're going to have to provide a little bit more evidence for some of the positions you have, specifically as it relates to mandates, etc. This is why I keep coming back to the point that I see so many people on the left making. They love the idea of injection mandates, and they're pushing them, their support. They love them. However, there's several things that we know. The efficacy of the induced immunity, apparently that is not a thing. It's more now they move the goalpost. At first it was immunity inducement, then they move that to it eases your symptoms. So that was one of the first big changes that they had. That's pretty significant, don't you think? Especially when you're requiring that people be injected. That's a big thing. And I really don't like the disingenuous comparisons to all of the other vaccines, which have been, we have decades of data on, and they're not moving the goalposts on what those do. I'm not against vaccines. I don't give a rat's ass about organic, non-organic, GMO. I don't care. I don't care. It's below my line of concern. And I don't care what you want to do. But this is moving the goalposts with all of these other vaccines that have been around for decades. We have a lot of data, and it's disingenuous to compare that, those two things. And plus, if you get, you know, your, what is it, your polio vaccine or whatever, you're getting immunity. It's not a therapeutic. It's not going to ease your symptoms of polio. You're getting actual immunity. With this, they move from saying that it's inducing immunity to saying it's just going to ease your symptoms. Okay, well, let's pause right here for a moment. Because you have people like, for instance, Novak Djokovic. This is a guy who already had coronavirus. He has a naturally acquired immunity. That's not good enough, though, because people are saying, well, you need this. Now it's basically a therapeutic, but they won't use that word. They still say vaccine. If you want to talk about disinformation, they're saying you have to get this injection, which is not going to actually induce immunity. If you had the injection alone, you could still transmit and contract the virus. Your naturally acquired immunity isn't good enough. This is like the first time in science that that's ever been rejected, by the way. I want everyone to know that. Do you know of any other thing in the world, any other virus in which naturally acquired immunity is not good enough compared to the induced lab created, and playing devil's advocate for a moment, calling this immunity, which it's not? When has that ever before been done in the world? So when I say that's anti-science, that is an accurate accurate characterization of this. And so this issue of the injection and inducement, it went from, well, you're going to get immunity to you're going to have a therapeutic. Well, people can make their own risk assessments, as I said. They can make the determination, do they want to have naturally acquired immunity and deal with being out for a few, you know, maybe it's a couple days, maybe it's a week. Or do they want to get an injection that is not going to prevent them from contracting the virus, and they're still going to be, even with mild symptoms, out for like a couple of days, maybe a week? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. Why can't they make their own risk assessment? Because this is not about immunity, it's about obedience. If this was about health, then we would be looking at all the other factors that cause people to have that increase their risk of fatality from the virus. We would be looking, as I said, I use this as an example because it's the number one comorbidity, obesity. If people were really serious about reducing risks of fatality with coronavirus, if this was really about immunity and health, then the people with mandates, and I'm just holding them consistent, they would be calling for federal mandates on diets. They would have dietary restrictions. It would be a federal mandate, would it not? I mean, if you're out there, I mean, obesity, if you're, you know, not eating well and not taking care of yourself, etc., if you're not doing anything about your issue, well, then you see what I, and then why draw the line there? Let's look at every single thing, regardless of whether or not a person can help it or not. And then let's also look at risky behavior. Let's have that discussion. Do you see where this is going? By the way, I don't really trust the science of any kind of governmental agency that has what I would say is not a morbidly obese, but an obese man identifying as a woman helping to set policy as the assistant secretary for health within HHS. If you want to talk about health. I'm just tired of having this conversation with people. And I'm sure you are as well. Goodness. I mean, we're focusing on everything but immunity. So this Novak Djokovic guy had coronavirus, and they're still doing all this stuff. Australia, French Open. You see the French out protesting in the streets. They better be careful. Look, I'm going to tell you, everybody sits here and talks about jokes about the French and the white flag of surrender. You realize that it was a bunch of French resistance people that did end up freeing Paris from the Nazis, right? They kicked that off and Charles de Gaulle came in later on. We all know this, right? Like, they helped. They were able to convince, you know, Churchill and some of these others, let's make a quick stop in Paris before just jetting straight to Berlin. They will riot. They will build a guillotine. So I'm just saying, maybe be a little careful with these people out there protesting in the streets. I watched, Carnage Trois on the Grand Tour, and they were talking about how the French rioted whenever they would implement just like little traffic changes. People rioted, and they had these cameras that went up, and they rioted and took down and destroyed every single one of the cameras that the French government put up. Don't mess. Like, I thought we rioted a lot in the United States, or protested. They rioted. I thought we protested a lot in the United States. We forget that one of our oldest friends in the world, an ally to us longer than even Britain, that, you know, they've always done this. So they've been out in the streets protesting. Can you imagine if they told French people, we're going to kill all your hamsters like they're doing in Hong Kong? There would be guillotines, right? All the people, everything that it takes to make a guillotine, blades and wood would all be gone from all the hardware stores. I wonder if they monitor that. Side note. All right, a couple of other things. Biden's Asia czar failed to disclose speech payments, speaking of Hong Kong, from a pro-China investment firm. Oh, Kurt Campbell had to revise his financial disclosure on the eve of his wife's Senate confirmation hearing. The president's Asia czar, he did not disclose tens of thousands of dollars in speaking fees from his private equity firm that is very closely aligned with China. Kurt Campbell is the head of Indo-Pacific Affairs at the National Security Council, and he disclosed to the Office of Government Ethics, this is from the Free Beacon, and a filing released on Thursday that he received $50,000 for two speeches to Blackstone in late 2020. His initial January 2021 disclosures did not list these speeches, nor the one that he gave to the Prospect Foundation, a Taiwanese think tank. Now, he submitted his revised financial disclosure a day after his wife had submitted her own disclosure. She was nominated as vice chair of the Federal Reserve. Great. And remember, she came under scrutiny. Lael Brainard, she came under scrutiny because she would not say whether she was socialist or capitalist. And she has been very supportive, has said some very supportive things about the CCP, which is really bizarre. So, and remember, Blackstone has been pushing for closer economic ties between the U.S. and China. China is really, they're not a world economic power. They're second string, and they pretend that they are by the way that they manipulate the market. That's what they do. So that by itself should be an argument as to why we should not have closer economic ties. Goodness. He hires the best people, Joe Biden, I tell you. We have more to come, including apparent. So 5G, do we need to freak out about this or not? Why are you doing that, Kane? Why? Why did you just literally seize up?
Because I read a little bit of the story. I saw the headline, and it is a little worrisome.
You coiled into like a cocktail shrimp posture.
Yeah, every now and again, I get on a plane. I'm a little concerned.
What? So wait a minute. Whoa. I know we got to go, but hold up. Hear me. Why are you concerned?
Well, if they haven't figured out how to safely transport people in a plane while we have 5G around the airports, then yeah, I'm a little concerned. Are you not?
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be panicked over. I didn't get that memo from the panic ministry.
Well, you know, when you fly, they always tell you to shut your phone off or do whatever. You
yeah,
know,
but that's stupid.
Electronic devices. Yeah, no one likes it. But no. I mean, there's a reason for
no,
it.
No, there's not.
Yeah, I'm sure there's there's communication between the
that's
plane
stupid.
And the tower.
It's
that
fake.
What are you? Why are you saying stuff
just
like that?
I don't believe you.
I'm saying it could be an issue. I haven't read enough into it to know if it's an issue yet. But if the airlines and the airports are already raising the red flag.
But aren't they already panicking? Haven't they been panicking since 9/11?
Okay. But not about 5G.
They said that Verizon and AT&T were supposed to begin the rollout already on January 5th, but the Department of Transportation and the FAA asked everyone to delay implementation for 2 weeks. Mayor, Secretary, whatever the hell he is, Dad, Poot Buttigieg, the Vice Admiral of Camp Wimpy Tonka's canoe fleet, who loves roads.
Don't forget about the 49 buses.
Yes. Sent letters to carriers saying, can you wait 2 weeks, please? Thanks. Okay, thanks. Bye. So is it... I just don't... They said that a lot of the commercial aircraft could suffer navigational equipment failures when exposed to the new C-band radiation coming from cell towers.
Now you understand why I cringed a little?
What? How does this... How are they not ready for this?
That is also another fantastic question.
Isn't that what the admiral, vice admiral of the Camp Wimpy Tonka canoe fleet was supposed to prepare everybody to do?
Transportation secretary should have been on this.
Was he too busy chest feeding?
Oh, gosh.
How dare you question his absence for a long time at his job? He had birthed from his loins new life into this world, Kane, and was providing nourishment.
He didn't do that.
How dare you, sir?
From his loins.
And on that note, we're gonna go to break on that note. We'll come back to this. We'll come back to it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I miss this. At the Naples Zoo at Caribbean Gardens, this story, Collier County Sheriff's Office, this was one of the last days in December. A man got bitten by a tiger at the Naples Zoo. He was taken to Lee Memorial Hospital, and they had to kill the tiger. What? So, Eco the tiger. So, the guy he entered an unauthorized area near the tiger that was inside its enclosure. He was a third-party cleaning service. And the company was responsible for cleaning restrooms in the gift shop. He had no business being in the animal enclosure. Why did the tiger have to get killed? Why? Because this guy was a moron. Oh, man. I am made of anger. Lee Memorial treated the guy because the tiger bit him, clearly. The tiger grabbed his arm, pulled it in the enclosure. The deputy shot the animal. The man was seriously injured because he's a moron and was taken to Collier County EMS because he's a moron as a trauma alert. That poor tiger. And there are critically endangered species, Malayan tigers. That's what they kill. That's insane. I'm mad. Mad as a bee that just had its hive mess with. Stay with us. We got another hour coming up.
Today we're talking about the filibuster, but consider this. We wouldn't even be in this situation if Washington, D.C. had two senators, the two senators we deserve. Because you know what? Washington, D.C. stands
with the majority. No, Mayor Bowser. Oh, no, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm not even going to hear this trash. You know what? If you want to sit here and give D.C. two senators, you best be ready to change the Constitution of the United States, because it is a government entity, the whole damn place. You already got what? You know, that's not how it works.
She's assuming those senators
just be part of Maryland.
Would be Democrat. She's assuming those senators would be Democrat.
Well, this is D.C. It's all government people. Government's like, we also would like a... Shut up. No, you don't get a vote. Welcome back to the show. It's third hour. Dana Lash with you. DanaLash.com. Go up to subscribe. That's where you can hit that newsletter. Chapter and verse over at Substack, where they don't censor anyone. I'm watching video right now of the people. I don't know who the hell these people are. Who are the hunger strike people? I'm watching them in their coats. They started a hunger strike for quote unquote voting rights. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Nope. I'm watching this video. They're sitting on the steps of the Capitol. They're going on a hunger strike. Okay, that's great. It's below my line of concern right now, I have to say. Nobody cares. I heard from the panic ministry that we're supposed to be freaking out over 5G. I don't have time for your nationalization. By the way, Coach Saban, apparently, they're all like, oh, he signed the letter wanting to support the Senate's voting rights bill. I don't care. Go be a coach. No one cares. We're not going to nationalize elections. It's a violation of the 10th Amendment. It is an absolute abridgment of states' rights. It is a stupid argument. Nobody's prevented, and nothing about their bill is about helping people to vote at all. I love the Democrats who are going, how dare you ask for a photo ID to vote? 'Tis so racist. It's so racist. You know how racist it is, you racity McRacist face.
Now give me your vax card.
Now, you can't leave your house unless you have your photo identification and your vax card. And you have to have your photo identification to get your vax card. But how dare you have a photo ID for voting? But don't leave your house without your vax card, which requires your photo ID to obtain, and also your photo ID with your vax card. I mean, how dare you ask someone before they cast a vote to prove their identity with a photo identification? But you can't eat at the Olive Garden unless you have your vaccine, which requires your photo identification to obtain, and also your photo identification to make sure that that's your vaccine card. Two totally different things.
Are they?
It's literally the world we live in right now. Wait a minute, though, but the biggest demographic that is unvaccinated are Black Americans, so tell me how that's not racist. Because it's not, because we're Democrats. We're immune from that which we have engaged in our entire political existence. Oh my gosh. Woo. So they're doing the hunger strike. They're saying ain't gonna let no filibuster turn me around. Okay. All right. Literally an insurrection. Keep Officer Byrd away. We don't want him, you know, getting froggy with anything here. So just like, let's keep him away. It's really cold. How long do you think they're gonna last? Are they gonna sit there the whole time?
Yeah, I hope so.
Do you honestly, they're sitting around, they're sitting on marble steps. I'm just curious, how long is this supposed to last? Somebody should have some food trucks pull up in front. That's actually, I really feel like that needs to happen. If Republicans were smart, they'd hire some food trucks and pull those up. Get you some we were just talking about food trucks, actually. Talking about different food trucks and street vendors and all that. They should have some food trucks pull up right in front. Send some food trucks their way. All you people in D.C., I know y'all listen. We're coast to coast. Could call some of them food trucks and have them go up. Be like, I hear there's some hungry people right in front of the Capitol building. They're starving. They're so hungry. And then see how long that lasts. Just saying. In the meantime, we can all freak out about 5G. We're supposed to freak out about it right now, right? The C-band. So apparently Verizon and AT&T are saying they're not going to turn the new C-band 5G on near airports. I don't know what any of this means. Where is Mayor Secretary New Dad Poot Buttigieg? The illustrious bus lover at the Department of Transportation who loves roads was the vice admiral of the Camp Wipitonka canoe fleet in South Bend, Indiana, ladies and gentlemen. Where is he to break this down? I'm curious. I mean, I don't know. So they're delaying the 5G near select airports. That's what I'm hearing. That's the latest news. Kane's completely freaking out about it. Totally. He just had accurate. To breathe in a paper bag on break.
It's a little cringy because, look, the airlines are concerned.
You curled into a question mark.
If the airports are concerned, I'm a little concerned.
The airports are always concerned, though. Kane, you can't bring anything over 4 ounces of lotion on a plane because the plane could blow up.
I also am against that.
If it's bigger than that, you got to put it in the trash can full of all of the other potentially explosive material right there by the bottleneck, which makes so much sense.
Different concern than the technical concerns they have with navigation on airplanes.
I mean, you can't, Kane. I mean, they're nervous about lots of things. Do you know that there's a picture of a guy who kept a French fry in his mouth for 3 hours so he wouldn't have to put a mask on his flight?
I saw that.
He's the real MVP, by the way. Kept the damn French fry in his man mouth for 3 hours. Love it.
I put a note in my phone to do that my next flight.
I'm so doing that my next flight. I mean, it's easy. It's like chewing on a pen or something. Just keep a fry. Resist the urge to eat the whole thing. Like down to your eat fries. Skip fries whenever you go on the plane. And then when you get to your last fry, just let it. Eat them slow. Right?
My modification.
Eat like a turtle.
My modification, small one, to that idea is jerky.
Mm.
Just keep jerky in your mouth.
Just have it kind of hang out.
Because it seems like it'd be easier.
And just chew it. Even if your hands aren't up.
The French fry, it's tough to justify an hour and a half flight with
I can make fries last an hour and a half.
Well, fries, plural. This dude did one fry.
No, well, he probably had fries.
I don't think so. I read the story.
And then he just kept the one fry.
But I thought jerky would be really good. It's like, no, this is just really tough jerky. It's all
Yeah. It's super tough. You don't want me to choke to death, right? That's a hazard. What with the first with a 5G and now choking on jerky? I mean, come on.
They're about safety, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's safety. It's about the safety. So have an piece of beef jerky just kind of hanging out your mouth and just chew it. And every time they look at you, just chew. If you get the real like jerky, I mean, that you still won't have it consumed by the time your flight lands, even if it's an 8-hour flight. So get the driest, nastiest stuff you can find. Make it last. True. Whew, man alive. But I'm looking at, they say, oh, it's catastrophic aviation crisis. It's just so, I mean, why are we just now hearing about this if it's so catastrophic? I mean, if they're talking about some planes that could be grounded, and this is just AT&T and Verizon that are saying that they're not going to roll out their C-band, whatever. Why are we just now hearing about this? Where is Secretary Mayor New Dad Poot?
Great question.
Like, shouldn't he be telling the people about this? I mean, it just seems like that's the, I don't know. I'm like made of confusion right now. They had this letter that they sent on the 17th, Airlines for America, and now they're going to delay. I guess the delay up by a couple of weeks. It's almost like we need a Department of Transportation. Oh, we have that. For real though, where is this dude?
No idea.
I mean, it's crazy. So they said 45% of commercial airplanes can fly after 5G rollout. That's what? Good grief. I don't know. I don't even know what all this means. I'm not even gonna pretend to know. I'm gonna update you when I hear, because that's something we're gonna ask the Patriot Mobile people. So with 5G, are we going to like turn into aliens? Like, what's going to happen? Just, you know, we'd like to know. You'd like to know if you're flying, correct?
Right.
Of course you would.
Right.
All right. So a couple of other things that I want to make sure that we are hitting. The CDC had a suggestion to cancel football and band in nearly every U.S. school, and some people are calling it unrealistic.
Only some?
Only some? And unrealistic isn't the term I would use. They're saying that, well, this maybe not have band, maybe not have football, maybe cancel wrestling and a bunch of other school activities. I think you can all shut up. It's not going to happen. Our kids have had such a hard time with everything being, so many things being shut down. They said that their updated guidance on January 6th, CDC were saying cancel or hold high risk sports and extracurricular activities virtually. What? Anytime there's a high transmission rate. Again, didn't they just come out with a thing that said we're not going to look at cases anymore? Okay, then why? The AP was directed to not report on it like that. They should be looking at severity, not transmission rate. What is the severity? Don't do singing or shouting. No band. That's actually part of their directive. Good grief. This is nothing about this. This is about science. Not a single bit of it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I have some bad news for you. NBC reports that Daniel Radcliffe is set to star as Weird Al Yankovic in the movie made by Roku. It's co-written by Weird Al himself. The production begins in Los Angeles in February, and it literally stars Daniel Radcliffe. Uh-huh. Well, something else ruined? Okay, yes, not that. Moving on. Completely depressed now. You can have your own private island if you want to be 30 minutes from New York City, which no one does, and you want to spend $5 million and probably be taxed at New York City rates. But hey, that's the way it is. It's in the New Rochelle community known as Premium Point. That sounds like a horrible name for a community. It is a Mediterranean-style waterfront estate on Oak Island, spanning a colossal 7,800 square feet on nearly three-quarters of an acre of property. Modeled after an Italian villa, it has, it has 24/7 security. Does that come with it? But you still have to live in New York. You can't have any guns, and there's a 50-foot-long concrete bridge that connects it to the rest of the land. And it's still too close to New York. It's in New York. It's like, buy it. So, no. Let's see here. Ooh. This couple of things. Joss Whedon. I never knew that he was always like this. So, you know that he's been accused of some bad behavior by cast members. And he was, they were saying misconduct and that he was bullying people, and he was just like had completely unacceptable behavior on set towards folks. So he responded to Justice League's Gal Gadot and Ray Fisher. He sat down with New York Magazine and he did an interview, and he was asked about some of the things that Gadot had said, because she had said that he had threatened her career, apparently. And he goes, quote, "I don't threaten people. Who does that? English is not her first language, and I tend to be annoyingly flowery in my speech," end quote. Oh my gosh. Oh, wow. This guy is a walking turd. Let's see here. Whew. Scientists film how the brain makes memories, which is really creepy, but it does open the door for some PTSD treatment. Interesting. It's a tailor-made microscope that helps scientists take the first snapshots of a living brain actually storing memories. They think that they could get from this some hope for some PTSD treatments, and that could even have some implications for Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative diseases. And they filmed this process, this memory creating process, in young zebrafish. They map changes in their brains as they stored information. And they're apparently very similar to humans on a genetic and cellular level. If you were wondering, why did they use zebrafish? And they said their brains, quote, lit up like Times Square on New Year's Eve. That's kind of creepy. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I'm all for, you know, medical advances, but I don't. Filming brain. According to a new study, in Obviousville. American politics are making American people feel American sick, says the study. No joke, because it's awful. No, the study says that the politics, and talking politics, it actually makes people sick. They said that it's harming a person's overall health. University of Nebraska surveyed and discovered that 4 in 10 people cite politics as a top stressor in their lives. They lose sleep, it fractures their relationships, and 1 in 20 say that even thinking or discussing it leaves them feeling suicidal. Oh my gosh, everyone chill out. So coming up, we'll speak with a guy who's being, well, he got subpoenaed by the J6 witch hunt. Stick with us.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
I'm curious as to how many people and for what reason the J6, why do we call it that? The January 6th committee is going to subpoena at this point. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com with you. Go sign up for the newsletter at Substack, where we've talked about this at length. It's the witch hunt, the continuing witch hunt. And I keep seeing all of these different people who are getting subpoenaed to go and answer all the Democrats, including Liz Cheney, on this committee and answer questions about what happened on January 6th. And you would think that if they were really serious about exploring everything that happened, that they would release some of the video from all the security cameras that they have around the Capitol complex. You can't even get anywhere near the Capitol without getting on video, but apparently we only have like what, maybe 5%, not even 5% of that video footage that's been released. One of the individuals, and I was actually shocked to see this, to be honest, one of the individuals who was subpoenaed is a friend of mine. Ooh, I wonder if they're going to subpoena. We weren't there. He wasn't either, apparently, but that didn't stop the committee from subpoenaing Alex Brusewitz, who is the CEO of X Strategies. He joins us via Skype now. Alex, it's amazing that you can get subpoenaed to by the January 6th committee, and you weren't even in the state.
Well, thank you for having me on, Dana. And thank you for the kind words. And you're a great friend. And so is Chris. You guys are wonderful people. But yeah, so I wasn't subpoenaed yet. I want to make that clear. I haven't been subpoenaed yet. But the commission emailed me and they said, hey, Alex, would love to have you come in. And, yeah, they're gonna. But, you know, who knows? Who cares? But so they emailed me, Alex, please come in, answer some questions. We think you have information regarding to what took place at the Capitol. Which I don't. I have no information of what took place on January 6th. I was at the Ellipse event where President Trump spoke to hundreds of thousands of peaceful protesters. But it's amazing. They come after me now because on January the 5th, I pledged that I'm going to give $50,000 to those being persecuted. And so I just think they're trying to financially punish me so I can't help others. And I think that's pretty sick.
What you said, Alex, there's a big distinction there. And I'll correct myself because you were at the peaceful protest and there were people who broke away from that. Because I know there are people who have been subpoenaed who literally weren't even in the state, which is insane. So you were at the peaceful protest. And mm-hmm. I know that it was I have a friend who does video for like one of the wire services, and he was there filming all of you people who were there at the Ellipses, just there at a, you know, peaceful protest. He didn't even know that people had broken away until his wife frantically called his phone, because I mean, the Capitol complex is so big. You could be on the other side of the Capitol, not even know what's going on. And she was like, maybe if you're not there, maybe you should go get video footage. And so he actually had to go and find that to get footage. But what is wrong with being at a peaceful rally? And why in the world would they think that you had any advanced knowledge? I mean, didn't the FBI report already say that it wasn't organized and there was no preparation?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it's been a year since January 6th. And now all of a sudden, 5 days after I'm pledging to financially support others, they're coming after me. And so I just think the timing is pretty funny. But I think the American people have totally tuned out. If the committee had smarter members on it and the people on it weren't like Adam Kinzinger or Liz Cheney or one of the dumbest members,
about
quite
him.
Frankly.
I didn't mean to exclude him the first time. He's easy to forget about, though.
He's dinky. That's the word I use. Dinky. Insignificant. And everybody knows it, including his own wife. And that's a shame. And so I hope he finds peace and serenity in his next career as an MSNBC contributor, but that's going to be all right. But one of the dumbest members is the chairman of the committee. His name is Benny Thompson. And this guy is all over MSNBC. He's saying things like the Fifth Amendment automatically means you're guilty if somebody uses it. And so if that's the understanding of the Constitution for the members who are supposedly trying to save our constitutional republic, that's really troubling, and that should be addressed.
It's amazing how now cornerstones of our due process are now considered to be incriminating evidence. They did this during the Rittenhouse thing, too. We're talking to Alex Brusewitz, CEO of X Strategies, who now the January 6th committee is trying to witch hunt him because he was simply there with hundreds of thousands of other people at the peaceful protest. And then there was a group of people that broke away, and the people who engaged in criminal activity, they already got in trouble. There've been like, what, over 700 some odd convictions, I think. And a lot of other stuff has been happening. But the bigger thing with this is that they're using what some people did. And I would question whether or not there, I mean, I think it's completely reasonable to question federal involvement after everything with the Gretchen Whitmer kidnap plot, after we had an FBI agent who falsified an application on the application to FISA and tried to claim that CIA asset against Russia, Carter Page, was somehow like a Russian stooge. And they had to omit that in order to get surveillance, access to surveillance on him. I mean, it's not beyond the realm, Alex, of probability to think that throughout this history, maybe, just maybe, there was some involvement of Fed boys in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate you shedding light on that possibility. And I want to make it very clear that, you know, after the 2020 election, I, along with tens of millions of Americans, had concerns about how that election was conducted. I voiced my opinions online. I participated in peaceful rallies all across the country. Right. From November 3rd to January 6th, there were hundreds of peaceful protests all across the country. I had a pleasure at speaking to them. And I don't apologize for questioning the government. In the United States of America, you have the right to question your government. You have the right to petition your politicians to answer your concerns. You have a right to peacefully assemble. And I think that's something that's also lost in everything that happened on January 6th, is that the Capitol Police gave a permit to a protest to happen at the Capitol on January 6th. Everybody knew it. It was days in advance before they got that permit. And so they're like, why are all these people coming to the Capitol? Well, the Capitol Police gave out the permit. And I believe that somebody was responsible to secure that Capitol and secure the First Amendment rights of hundreds of thousands of people who wanted to gather and peacefully assemble and peacefully protest. And somebody failed to do that. And somebody, I think, should be held accountable for failing and infringing upon everybody's rights. And if we might be taking action on that soon, because my rights were infringed upon and I was put in danger. If I were to show up to that protest, I was in danger. And who is Ray Epps?
Ooh, that's a great point. We'll get to that in a minute. We're talking with Alex Brusewitz, CEO of X Strategies, who the January 6th committee now is saying, come in and let us ask you questions. That's just the question before the formality of the subpoena. You bring up a really good point. I've been to, over the past 10, 15 years, I can't tell you how many protests I've been at the Capitol. I've spoken at some. I've been there, where they've had hundreds of thousands of people. These things have to be advanced weeks in advance. There's always a ton of Capitol police officers. And when I looked at the video, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it because you were there at the peaceful rally, it did not honestly seem, I've been to smaller events there where there were more Capitol police present. It didn't seem like there were a lot of police there.
Yeah, well, I wasn't at the Capitol that day. I wasn't near it, so I wasn't able to see what the security looked like. But there's been plenty of reports that have come out how Nancy Pelosi declined 10,000 to 20,000 National Guard.
You were at the Ellipses, like way, way far away. Yeah, where it's even by, it's that by the was White taking House, place. Right?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a mile. It's a long distance, and it was one of the coldest days that I could remember. I'm from Wisconsin. I was freezing.
My toes were cold.
My girlfriend, she went home. Like, you know, so after the event, I'm like, oh, well, it's really cold, so I'm going to go change my shoes, whatever. So I never even made it down there. I wanted to because I wanted to participate and exercise my constitutional First Amendment rights to peacefully speak my mind and question the results of the election and peacefully support the 150 lawmakers who agreed to debate the results of the election. But that has all been lost in translation over the last year. Democrats have controlled the narrative on it. Thankfully, because of the dumb members that are on this commission, their narrative is flopping. And there was a focus group that was done recently in a swing district, and some soy boy pollster was like, "Oh, I'm so sad. Like, it's so scary that these, you know, these voters don't even care about the 1 year anniversary of January 6th. Nobody cares because it was a fake hoax. Everybody knows it. And I think that the truth does deserve to come out, but it's not going to come out from the sham committee. It's going to come out because of Republicans that are going to push back about this.
Yeah, we had we spoke with a couple of weeks ago, my friend Nick Searcy, who has a great documentary about everything that happened at January 6th, and they examine that Ray Epps. And of course, if we've talked about the Ray Epps thing before, so my listeners are familiar with, you know, where did that guy go? Like, why isn't that guy? He apparently he met with the January 6th committee secretly. Like, how did that?
Yeah,
he met with them. Like, how did we know the text messages of Mark Meadows, but we didn't know that Ray? We have no transcripts of this guy's meeting with the committee.
And Ray Epps was also a former chapter leader of the Oath Keepers in Arizona, right? All those Oath Keepers are being charged with sedition conspiracy.
So at the very least, he's an informant.
At the very least, or, you know, Adam Kinzinger went away. I'm sorry, but, you know, on my screen. But maybe he and Adam are friends. Maybe they have a relationship. Nobody knows. We deserve to have the answers about who Ray Epps is and why Adam Kinzinger is so quick to defend this former Oath Keeper. Is Adam Kinzinger a member of the Oath Keepers? I don't know. These are questions that the American people deserve answers to, and they should be transparent.
Seems like legitimate questions, talking with Alex Brusewitz, X-Strategies. Okay, so last question for you, Alex. If they subpoena you, you're going to ignore it, right?
Well, I don't want to say I'm going to ignore it, but we're going to deal with it in the proper manner. I don't recognize this committee as legitimate. They are not set up constitutionally. They're a constitutionally rogue committee. They don't have the proper balance of members. And I think for the first time in their lives, a lot of these members feel respected and powerful. Look, Adam Kinzinger is 5'5". Do you think he gets a lot
of respect
on the street?
He's 5'5"?
He is. He says 5'7", but he's 5'5". But for the first time in his life, he feels important and powerful. MSNBC puts him in the high chair and make him feel really cool. And so if I were to go in there and legitimize Adam Kinzinger, I'm going to give him a win. But I have constitutional rights as well as an American. And I personally don't recognize this committee as legitimate. Mm-hmm. And if they come for me, it's very clear. It's just strictly political retaliation. Yeah. And the American people are well aware of that by now.
I hope they do something about that insurrection taking place on the Capitol steps right now with the hunger strike that's going on for the, I mean, they definitely keep Officer Byrd away from it though, but they definitely should, something they should definitely look at. Alex Brusewitz, we're going to follow this. X Strategies is the company. Alex, thank you so much for joining us and you're, and speaking
thank
out.
You,
we
Dana.
Appreciate it.
You're great. Thank you.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
My message to parents is this. You have a fundamental right enshrined in law by this General Assembly to make decisions with regard to your child's upbringing, education, and care. And we will protect and reassert that right.
Democrats wouldn't applaud that. They just sat there with their arms folded. You can't, they don't believe you have a right to make fundamental right to make decisions about your kid's upbringing. Oh, how unfortunate for those people to think that. Welcome back to the show. Oh my goodness, I tell you what. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter at Substack, Chapter and Verse. One of the things we're going to discuss a little tomorrow, and I'll include this in the prep email that I send out, there is a piece on increased food prices. Listen to this. Apparently, the Chinese government is stockpiling goods. This is what the report is. It's actually from January 4th. On a massive scale, and in looking at some of this, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, China will hold 69% of the world's corn reserves, 60% of its rice, and 51% of its wheat. By China's own estimation, these reserves are at a, quote, historically high level, end quote, and are contributing to higher global food prices. According to agriculture.com, they said that China's corn prices are going to remain high, and they looked at the stockpiling that they're undergoing. This is bizarre. They say at the mercy of major food exporters like the U.S. Huh. They could also be preparing for something in case they don't want to be at the mercy of world's food exporters if there is any kind of conflict. I'm just speculating. But I'm just saying, if I was going to try to FAFO and one of the people I was going to FAFO around, you know, with is maybe where I get some of my food, I'd probably start stockpiling too. I'm just saying. Interesting. And that's going to be one of the things we're going to have to discuss. They said that China's inventory of arable land has been in decline for decades because they've had urban development, soil contamination. Their farms are far less productive than those farms of other countries. Duh. So they're stockpiling. And the government offers farmers there a minimum price for their crops, which are then stockpiled. They raised the minimum price for wheat since the first time in 2014. Just crazy. And the size and content, they really guard this. So their commodity stockpiles, they keep that, like, that's like a state secret. The CCP does not like to talk about it. Any commodities they don't like to discuss. Bizarre. It's weird how they went from a country that literally created one of the worst famines in world history, man-made, to now they're stockpiling stuff. But still, you know, their people aren't actually getting it. It's just bizarre. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, this one, we'll throw this to Australia. They did an entire news segment on the vaccination of your dogs. Now, look, we on the show absolutely love dogs and think dogs are the best people. But this idea, I don't like dogs with myocarditis. That's my thing. Here we go.
...of Samantha Shapiro's rescue dog getting severely sick from COVID is her worst nightmare.
Because she is much older, absolutely. I think she is a lot more susceptible. To it.
To ease the fear, she wants her Staffy vaccinated.
I would feel like so helpless and so defenseless knowing that possibly there was something that possibly could have saved her.
You don't have anything else to worry about in life, so you worry about your Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Exactly.
Getting vaccinated.
First world.
Meanwhile, they're killing all the hamsters in Hong Kong because they're not vaccinated. Folks, that does it for us this evening. Sign up for the newsletter, of course. All good things come into your way for those who've signed up. And I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.